This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Silent films were never really silent. Most movies were accompanied by local musicians who were in turn directed by a conductor who kept his gaze firmly on the big screen.
And even when silent movies were being filmed back in Hollywood, live musicians would often accompany actors take after take after take.
New Hampshire native Jeff Rapsis became enamored with the medium as a teenager, and the love affair grew when he started accompanying silent films with his synthesizer.
It's a throwback to the old days, and this Sunday, Rapsis takes his talents to the Somerville Theater, where he'll single-handedly accompany three Buster Keaton films. Actually, I do think he'll be playing with both hands, but you know what I mean. He sat down with us earlier this week to give us a preview, and I started by asking him whether, back in the day, local musicians were given formal music scores, or whether or not they just improvised an entire soundtrack the way he does it.
It was all over the map. Some of the really big productions did have full-fledged scores that were released, and musicians sometimes would play them, and sometimes they would ignore it because they wanted to do their own thing. There was no one-size-fits-all kind of situation. But for the most part, most people saw these films in the teens and the 20s with music that was created locally right there on the spot. Might be improv, but more often it was a team of musicians, like house musicians, who worked together. They might know 60 or 80 cues of different characters. So, like, you'd have one thing for a chase or one thing for a love scene, and the music director would look at the film and he would say, or she would say, play number 52, you know, and they'd launch into 52, and you'd have five or seven musicians playing the same stuff to support this film that was being shown. And then when the scene changed, play number 94, you know, skip the repeat. And it was a remarkable team effort, and it was sort of an instant film score.
So now in 2011, when you sit in a film screening with your synthesizer improvising a score to a Chaplin film or a Buster Keaton film, are you doing something similar in your own mind? Do you have leitmotifs associated with different characters in action? How do you do it? What's your process?
Yes, well, it's very much like what you just said. I've been doing this for about 5 or 6 years, and I found that over time I've developed certain melodies and themes and things that I keep coming back to, not because I'm lazy, but because they're very effective. And sometimes when you get a good piece of music that goes with somebody, it can be a nice little shorthand way of creating a film score.
Can you give me an example?
Well, for Chaplin, a lot of his comedies are of a certain type. And I find that when he makes his first appearance, oftentimes this kind of music starts coming out of me. And you go from there. It can go up a key, maybe, you know, like.
Sort of impish. It kind of sounds like trouble's coming.
Yes, and it's not. But it's not funny music. It's not like ha ha music. With comedies, I find that the comedy itself is enough. What's on the screen is enough. If the music tries to be funny too, it's almost like too much frosting on a cake. And I really try to dial it back and let the comedy come. One of the dynamics that I have to work with is that audience reaction is one of the key magical parts of a silent film screening, I think. People react to these films in a way that's different from modern movies. And in order for the reaction to flower, the music can't step on that reaction.
That's fascinating. So you'll back off when the audience starts to get vocal.
Yes. And then when things are sort of like a freight train out of control and there's no stopping it, then you can come back in and really pump things up. And that's when it really is fun to do these scores, because you can let loose and be very creative sometimes.
So how literal do you get in terms of scoring action in the scene?
Well, among accompanists, there's a resistance to what's called Mickey Mousing, which is where you, like, if somebody slaps someone in the face, you know, you do a like that and punctuate it with it, because, first of all, it's considered bad form, and second, if you're off by just a little bit, it's pretty obvious. And so I try to avoid mimicking the action But I do try very much so to reflect the tempo of the scene, not just the action that you're seeing, but the emotional tempo of a scene.
Are you trying to create for the audience a period experience, a replication of what it would have been like to screen these films in their day, or are you doing something that's modern?
Well, yes and no. How do you like that for an answer? What I try to do is bridge the gap between when these films were first shown and what modern audiences expect when they go to a theater. We all have three generations of film music in our head, whether we know it or not. And so, for instance, if something scary is about to happen, let me just dial this setting in here. I find they wouldn't have done this in the 20s, but I can come in with like a low bass note. It's quite ominous. And they wouldn't have done that back in the 20s, would they? Because they would have just been playing popular tunes to create a mood or whatever. And then things get a little more intense. You come up with some higher notes. And these sorts of musical effects are something we expect today in a theater, aren't they? When we go see a modern movie. And I think that helps these films from the 20s come to life in a way that they wouldn't have done back in the 20s, but we need that today. And these movies do spring right up to life when you can create music that helps bridge that gap from what your great-grandparents might have seen when they were a courtin' back, you know, in the 20s, and what we expect today when we go sit in a movie theater for a shared experience.
So this Sunday, you're going to be accompanying three Buster Keaton films at the Somerville Theater. Can you give us a little preview of what we might hear? What does Buster Keaton sound like to you?
Well, Buster is a wonderful silent film comedian, and in case people aren't familiar, he was one of the three great silent film comedians that people regard as just immortal. There's two short films and one of Buster's great feature films. And the two short films, what I do with a program like this is for the short films, I go to just an organ setting, and let me call that up. And it creates sort of a mild environment. And so for Buster, you might get something like this going on. While Buster's doing his business. The second film is called Cops. And it's a famous short comedy because it's filled with just exactly that. Buster had a knack for taking an ordinary situation and letting it spin sort of out of control to an absurd extent. And in this case, he winds up dealing with one cop and then two and then four, and it multiplies till he has the whole city of Los Angeles' police force after him. And, you know, with that film, you might start out with sort of an open-ended thing like open fifths, like that. And Buster is playing a moving man, and so he's going to be moving his furniture. And as things get a little more intense, you might find if things get really out of control, it's like it's a very funny short film.
That's great, Jeff. And I imagine that the Somerville Theater is just like a perfect place for this in terms of atmosphere, this beautifully restored old-time theater.
It is. They are dedicated to trying to preserve the movie-going experience in a way that older films, not just silent films, but some of the great pictures from all of Hollywood's history.
Well, Jeff Rapsis, we'll look forward to that on Sunday. Could you play us out on something?
Sure. There's a great Academy Award-winning film. The first film to win an Academy Award was called Wings. It's a silent film. It's about World War I flying aces. And anytime they start up the engines for their biplanes, a certain type of music starts up in the score that I do for it. And so let me play some of that for you, and it'll give people a sense, I think, of the range of this, of what I do when it's time to call the full orchestra. So this is from Wings from 1927. ¶¶
Jeff Rapsis. He'll be accompanying three Buster Keaton films this Sunday night at the Somerville Theater. More information and archival photos from the films on our website, radioboston.org.
Monday on Radio Boston, we launch our new writing series, Zip Code Stories, when we'll ask you to submit stories from and about your zip code. We'll have more details Monday on Radio Boston.
Our show is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com.
The program is produced by Adam Ragusa, who's sitting right beside me, Jessica Albert, Dan Mossy, and Jason Breslow. We received extra help this week from producer Anna Pinkert. Our interns are Amory Sievertson and Katie Enders.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director. The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Meghna Chakrabarty will be back next week. I'm Adam Ragusa. Great being with you this week, Anthony.
Great being with you, Adam. Have a great weekend. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.